We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back. Quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hawkins and Greg Pickle. Back from the Labatt Blue Studio, Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. We're still hearing from James Franklin on Penn State's 28-21 win over Michigan. He wasn't letting some of Penn State fans' questions bother him. The team very excited, obviously, to get this win. Move to 7-0 to feed that whiteout crowd with a win over a ranked team. That's back-to-back wins over ranked teams. You wouldn't know it by probably reading the message boards. There's still some questions about where this team is going, how good it really is. Can it play with Ohio State? You know, what's the future of this team? They're still 7-0. All those, every goal is still on the table for Penn State. In this game, they built a 21-0 lead over Michigan early, focused on the big plays because that's the best avenue to beating this Michigan defense. Not, by the way, just not for nothing, this is not the most electric version of Michigan's defense either. I think attitude and approach and strategy are all right there on point, but I don't think there's not a lot of players that you fear on this Michigan defense. Some good players.
They don't play, and they don't get the ball to the ones you do fear. I mean, Nico Collins, Donovan Peoples-Jones.
Michigan's defense.
No, you don't fear really any. It's not like the years past where they had at least one scary linebacker or at least one scary corner. I mean, that was probably the thing that struck me most going into game day is looking at their flip card with their starters listed and no one really jumping off the page at you. Yeah. So obviously they have some talented guys over there, but it's just not like in years past where there was at least one guy who you said,
Winovich,
we got to
right. Rayshon yep. Gary, Devin Bush last year. Kalik Hudson's a nice player, but
he's more
of a cleanup guy now. Like I felt like earlier in his career, Penn State fans should know Kalik Hudson from Pennsylvania. Earlier in his career, it looked like he was going to be a real weapon that they used, you know, kind of like Micah Parsons, how they're using him now. But now he's a tackling machine and hasn't been a whole lot else. Anyway, so they're up 21-0 on this team. They end up winning 28-21. They're holding on to, late. In that game, late in the first half, Penn State gets the ball. 51 seconds to go at its own 41-yard line. First down to Pat Freiermuth, on first down, 7 yards of Pat Freiermuth. James Franklin lets the clock run. They try to hurry and get to the line of scrimmage. A lot of clock time burns off. He addressed that after the game, and to his credit, he kind of owned his own mistake in that situation.
We had an opportunity there at the end of the half. You know, the two-minute situation, which we've been very good at. I should have called the timeout on third down. I thought we got the first down on the far sideline, didn't, and then didn't want to burn the timeout after a bunch of time had already run off the clock. But I should have called it there. On the fourth down, my offensive coordinator background and my aggressive offensive background, I called the fourth down because I was thinking about going for it. And then, obviously, that wasn't the right thing to do because we got one of the best defenses in the country. Let's punt the ball and make them earn it. So we could have managed that better. You know, I could have managed that better. There's no doubt about it.
So, really, I thought right off the bat, I mean, number one, you know, being a head coach in that situation and managing the clock, you know, it might seem obvious hovering from above the field and all that stuff, not being in the thick of it. It's challenging. I get that. But I think not pulling the trigger on a timeout immediately when you're stopped short of a first down, you're at your own 48-yard line. And at that point, you know, if you call a timeout right away, there's probably, 43 seconds left. I don't have that in front of me.
Yeah.
That's a world of time because I do believe they still had three timeouts in that situation, did
right.
they not?
Correct.
Three timeouts plus the clock stopping on first down is a world of time. You know, so when you're letting – I don't know how much time wears off, 12, 14 seconds trying to hurry to the line of scrimmage.
Well, and then you got to look over and get the play and yada, yada, yada. Yeah, I knew what he was getting at in his explanation, but I think what he meant to say was he should have called the timeout after the first down play. He thought they got a timeout or a first down. They didn't. And then they obviously look over and try and change the play on second down. It doesn't work out. He calls a timeout to punt, which didn't make any sense and gave Michigan time to get its act together for an offensive shot that never didn't result in points.
Well, but it could have. So right. you're punting from midfield. If Michigan gets a 20-yard return and now suddenly they're looking at, you know, the ball with you know, at their own 30, then they might have a chance. So I thought really it was just two mistakes in one, and maybe that timeout on third down is almost like kicking himself for not calling timeout on first down. But either way, you know, I think it's, you know, for the coach to own that after the game, I think is good. You know, Penn State fans have some doubts about James Franklin.
Well, and it,
in game,
and
anyway.
It goes to the communicate. He's been here too long to not have the communication worked out for somebody in the booth to say, "Hey, we didn't get that first down. We're 3 yards short." And I know you can't see it because it's the other side of the field, but hey, we're 3 yards short. So I was just another time management struggle. It's been a noted issue during his tenure at Penn State, so I don't think it's a surprise to anyone. But
I've never been in this position, so you don't want to be too critical, I guess. But should it not be in your head that, okay, the ball's coming out quick to the far sideline. If we're short here and we're in bounds, we're calling timeout. We're going to preserve the clock.
Right.
Is that not right. scripted in your head in
right.
that situation? So anyway, he owned it. I'm not sure how Penn State fans respond to him owning it, but you gotta respect the honesty, especially in the other locker room
mm-hmm.
when the quotes immediately went to the officials instead. We're hearing from James Franklin on Penn State's 28-21 win over Michigan. Some quotes he had after the game, segment brought to you by GoPSURV.com. Two home games left in the 2019 season. It's going fast. It got Indiana and Rutgers left on the schedule. If you're interested in checking out those games, you should be interested in checking out GoPSURV.com for the full tailgating experience all weekend. Not just game day, not just a few hours before kickoff, but Friday, Saturday, and then you get to leave on Sunday morning. They give you a ride to and from the stadium. Got food and beverage on site from 409 Tailgate Club. There's not a whole lot you have to worry about. It's just an awesome way to take in a game. Once again, GoPSURV.com. Speaking of in-game, we heard from James Franklin not calling timeout late in the first half. The adjustments, he was asked about that, and he talked about the shots that Penn State was taking down the field, how maybe they missed a few of them.
No, we missed some shots, and I think sometimes what happens is you guys don't see the shots because they're called and we get pressured. We get sacked or pressured and things like that. And that's the style of defense they are. They're going to overload you. They're going to blitz. You got to get the ball out of your hand. And you got to get the ball down the field. And we did that. We missed some tonight, and others we got pressured and weren't able to really, you know, hold the ball long enough to get it out. You know, so again, when it mattered most, we were able to do that. But we also missed a few too.
I'm not sure if that's a direct answer to the question that was asked of him, just in terms of in-game adjustments. So I'll ask you, Greg, what do you think about Penn State, especially offensively, being able to adjust to adjustments? Because I think Michigan on the defensive side won that battle in a landslide. Penn State made enough plays early. They made that the big play late to KJ Hamler that stretched the lead at that point to 28-14. There were big plays that were to be made, and they were made in some cases. But you know, I always feel like, you know, and you touched on it earlier, Penn State has a nice script to start the game, and then you get into the nitty gritty, and we didn't see success for large stretches of this game too.
Yeah, it's exactly right. I mean, I think that they just really struggle in that area to deal with what teams throw at them. I mean, sometimes we've seen them overcome that, usually against lesser opponents, but it's just they just, especially the protection seems to break down too often in game. That's a problem. And really what it comes down to in my mind is that, you know, until they're able to get dialed in on those things, these problems are going to continue to pop up. Yeah, in-game adjustments have not been a strength of this program for, various parts of the last 6 years. Sometimes they get it cleaned up, sometimes they don't. But it's one area that you'd really like to see growth sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I think so too. And you kind of – you know, Ricky Ryan is a young play caller with a young quarterback, with young playmakers all around him. Even in the backfield, you know, KJ Hamler's the elder statesman of the wide receiver group. Jahan Dotson's a true sophomore. You got a sophomore in Pat Freiermuth. You got a redshirt freshman in Justin Shorter. So there's youth everywhere. And then I think that includes Ricky Ronnie still growing into, you know, as you mentioned earlier in the show, the touch required to manage that. We don't have time for all these, but I wanted to bring up James Franklin's quote on Noah Cain. Five carries in this game, not very involved really from, you know, most of quarter one, two, and three. I saw him getting involved late. Here's what he had to say about Noah Cain's role.
Yeah. Again, you know, I think Noah moved up. I think he was the second back in. I think he did have opportunities late in the game. But again, you know, we feel really good. Ricky Slade had a good night tonight. Again, we feel like we got four guys that we have a lot of confidence in and are doing really good things. And that's you know, that team's difficult to run the ball against. But, you know, again, it's no different than really what I've been telling you guys, you know, from the beginning of the year with our running back situation.
Is that explanation sit well with you?
No. I mean, because it requires suspending reality to believe that the running back situation is the same as it was when the season started, and it's not. I mean, it's clear now that we have there should be an established pecking order, and it starts with Noah Cain. I just don't see any way around it. Yes, Ricky Slade had the nice run, 44-yard run. He led the team in yards, I believe, on the ground simply because of that one. But, you know, things just tend to work better with Noah Cain in the game, and to not be able to get him in a situation where he's more involved is just a failure by the coaches when they game plan for this. You know, I know that the lack of snaps obviously played a role in not getting Cain on the field more, but you use the snaps you have to get your best players on the field. And it just goes back to, again, I just don't really buy into this whole idea of, well, we're going to continue. So something is wrong here. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know if I'll ever learn the answer, but something doesn't add up when it comes to Noah Cain's playing time. And, you know, when it comes down to it, you just have to find ways to get your best players involved more, and they haven't done that yet with Cain consistently.
I think just in general, the four-man backfield that Franklin continues to be asked this question. He will continue to be asked this question as long as you have instances like this where it's a little puzzling how they're used. You know, there's just not a clear pecking order really anywhere in the offense. And sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes it leads you into this situation where you don't know who to turn to in key situations. You thought it was Noah Cain. It wasn't in this situation. I know you think something bigger is going on. I just think sometimes you can overthink management when you have too many pieces to try and figure out. The four-man backfield certainly fits. All right, that's it for this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Be sure to download the Keystone Sports app. You can check out everything we do there, as well as on Spotify and on KeystoneSportsNetwork.com.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.